Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. According to a 2016 study in medical journal The Lancet, global universal breastfeeding would prevent about 800,000 child deaths every year around the world and create $300 billion in savings annually from lowered healthcare costs. And while the percentage of women who choose to breastfeed their child had previously fallen off in the U.S., it's been on the rise since the early 1990s, and the trend line continues going up. Today is the last day of World Breastfeeding Week, a local effort to promote the benefits of breastfeeding. So we thought that we'd spend a few minutes with two experts on the topic from Lee Health to talk about their work helping women before, during, and after giving birth to successfully breastfeed their babies. Dr. Carol Lawrence is a supervisor of perinatal practice, education, research, and lactation at Lee Health. Carol, thanks for being with us.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And also Delilah Edwards is a board-certified lactation consultant and maternal educator with Lee Health. Delilah, thanks to you as well. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And as always, if you'd like to join our conversation by asking a question or making a comment, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So for starters, can you each tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Lee Health? How long have you been working to promote breastfeeding? Carol, let's start with you.
I've been with the system about 30 years, and you know, it's always been part of our mission to support breastfeeding, but I would say probably over the last 15 or so years, we've really concentrated a lot of effort and resources to help improve and elevate our practice. And my role is I'm the supervisor of the department, and we have three hospitals that deliver babies, so I just help make sure that we're providing standardized care based on the scientific evidence. So that's my role.
Has science changed a whole lot recently in the last 15 years to lead in this direction, or is this just kind of something that has come up as an area to focus on?
Well, I think it has. I think it's really highlighted some of the areas that we needed to refine and do better, such as skin-to-skin and its role in preventing and promoting breastfeeding supply and longevity, as well as practices sometimes that we were doing in the hospital that undermine that practice, such as use of artificial nipples and formula when it wasn't medically indicated. So I think, and as we evolve as a science, we're just really, I think, touching the iceberg on the true benefits of human milk. So I think we have a lot more to learn. We've learned a lot in the last decade about that, but it just continues to be a very exciting area of research.
And Delilah, I want to ask you, when did you become a lactation consultant? What got you started in that?
Actually, I was a nurse prior to becoming a lactation consultant, and I've been a nurse for 18 years, 13 of those years a lactation consultant, because I was a patient that needed help, and I came to the department with my first child in desperate need of guidance and support, and the women were so extremely helpful, and I was so inspired that I decided to make that my career, and it has been wonderful since then. I mean, what an honor to be with someone when they bring their child into the world and to be that person that they call on for help and support and to give them the most recent information to make sure that their baby's healthy and that their whole family is healthy. So it really is the greatest job ever, in my opinion.
Well, that's great that you love your job, then.
So, I do.
Let me ask you, Delilah, for people who don't know or understand or haven't had children or haven't really even looked at this issue very much, why is it a challenge for women to breastfeed? What makes it difficult for them? You said that you had a hard time.
Because I think women sometimes put some very high expectations on themselves to be perfect parents right from the get-go. And a significant other and spouse, they want to be supportive, but sometimes they don't know how. And babies come out and they're, you know, ready to go and do things, but sometimes moms are just uncomfortable because they're nervous simply just holding a baby and not knowing about some positioning assistance that can make it easier for them, ways in managing their time. For instance, something as simple as sleeping when the baby sleeps. You would think that would be obvious, but I think that moms try to get too much done and parents focus on, you know, staying awake when the baby's awake and then honoring visitors, getting their own lives together, chores, dishes, cooking, cleaning, and it can get really overwhelming. So everything from
you know, sleep deprivation or from any kind of physical anomalies. Perhaps mom has something that's prohibiting their success as far as their anatomy is concerned, or there might be something with the baby that they're not particularly participating the way they should after delivery. So there can be a few things that go wrong and that people don't really expect or they don't talk about to their friends and let them know, hey, this is a normal thing that happens. So that's where I step in to let them know what's normal and what's not and to give them a hand when they're struggling.
And Dr. Carol Lawrence, I wanted to ask you, I mean, how much does psychology play into this and the way that women view their own breasts, looking at them, if they feel like they have been a sexualized organ as opposed to something with nurturing a baby?
Right. And that's something that, you know, as a society, we see, you know, the breast sexualized and trying to reframe that as an organ that's, you know, vital for infant nutrition, you know, that is an uphill battle. And that's why we hear a lot of discussion about normalizing breastfeeding. You know, that is what our bodies were designed to do. And the whole pregnancy, the breast is preparing for that. And so just things like breastfeeding in public and the controversy with that, this is a normal way to feed a baby. So as a culture, we're doing better at embracing it. I think the legislation has helped with that, but it's a difficult concept that it's your body. It's a body image thing. And for some women, that's harder to make that transition from a sexual organ to an organ that's vital to feed their newborn. I will add to that, though, that a lot of women now, you know, we use the term breastfeeding, but it's really about providing human milk to a baby. So we're finding more and more women that the thought of actually putting a baby to the breast is uncomfortable for them, but that doesn't mean that they can't provide human milk to their baby. So we deal more with that in the hospital. We can get women pumping, and so that their baby can get the full benefits of human milk, and the baby, if the mom chooses, never even has to go to the breast. So there's just so many more options out there today. But the stigma and the self-esteem is a huge component to it. And I know Delilah can speak to anxiety is also a real component to overcome with breastfeeding.
Yeah, and Delilah, I find it interesting that it seems like the occurrence of formula and pinup girls kind of became popular at about the same time, you know? And
yeah,
so that psychological hurdle is going to be a big one to jump.
I think psychology does play into it quite a bit. I mean, it is a maturational crisis. Definitely. You are bringing another person into your life. A woman's body is changing. The dynamic between her and her spouse change. So like Carol was saying, it goes from an organ for one use to another use entirely. You know, so for some people, that's really overwhelming. And they struggle everything from, you know, physically to psychologically, and that's where we come in. And it's a very holistic practice that we have. You know, we treat the entire individual and the family as far as addressing their needs and taking care of their baby and talking about some of those things that do cause anxiety to get them through it so that they can enjoy their family and that the benefit of breast milk is there regardless if they're breastfeeding directly or if they're pumping and bottle feeding. So we kind of help them navigate through some of those hurdles that they can encounter on their way.
So let's go to the hard sell, the primary benefits of breastfeeding. Breast milk provides all of the nutrients your baby needs for the first 6 months of life. Breastfed babies have fewer allergies, stomach problems, and respiratory and ear infections. Breast milk is free and convenient. You always have a supply, and it is always the perfect temperature. Breastfeeding is good for the environment. There's no trash to discard, and moms who breastfeed have a low risk of breast cancer. Carol, are any of these benefits new discoveries, or have we always known these things?
Oh, I think that's really been a large discovery really over about the past 10 to 15 years. I mean, the impact on the immune system and the bacteria that we have in our gut and infections have kind of been well known. But what we're starting to appreciate is that a lot of chronic illness, whether it's heart disease, stroke, there's an inflammatory component to that. There, the immune system is like overreacting. And what we're finding that is when babies get human milk, that activation doesn't occur. But when babies get a formula and there may be cow's milk protein or other components in there, their immune system gets activated at an earlier age. And that's what we're feeling is a part of the underlying reason why babies have different health outcomes throughout their lifespan when they've received formula versus breast milk. And you did a really great job on the list of the mm-hmm. benefits of breastfeeding. It's growing. But there's also benefits to mom. Better emotional state after delivery, less postoperative complications, bleeding, less risk for some cancers throughout her lifespan, as well as diabetes and high blood pressure. So there's benefits for both the mom and the baby, and you've mentioned even to society, both financially, environmentally. It's huge. It really is a public health issue. Like you quoted some numbers. If we had, in the U.S. alone, if we just had a modest, about 10% improvement in our breastfeeding rates, it would be like $3.6 billion in the U.S. alone through direct costs of formula, but then indirect costs to healthier people, moms and babies, and lost days from work because moms and families have healthier babies. So, we're on the move. We want to do what we can to support families in making an informed choice about how to feed their baby.
Well, and I'm imagining that both of you may have been following the story out of the World Health Assembly when the Trump administration blocked a resolution promoting breastfeeding. What did either of you think of that?
Well, I think there's a knowledge deficit with our administration and understanding the association with breastfeeding success or breastfeeding outcomes and the impact of the marketing of formula. And the language that was being opposed by the U.S. had to soften the language about how formula is marketed. And the World Health Organization has a code of the marketing of breast milk substitute. Lee Health observes that code, and that the language that was in that declaration wanted to uphold the World Health Organization code, because we know that if moms are exposed to images of formula all the time, they're sent formula. Formula is everywhere they turn. They're less likely to be successful. It undermines and sabotages breastfeeding. So eventually that language was softened a little bit. It was a disappointment. But we just have to be very, very careful. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning and a mom is, tired and sleep deprived and somebody sent her some formula that's sitting up on the shelf, that's very, very tempting to do. So we have to just be very, very sensitive. And part of the knowledge deficit that I saw in some of those tweets was that we didn't want to restrict formula in the U.S. Believe me, formula has its place. There are women who cannot or choose not to breastfeed, and there are medical reasons why formula is used. So we're not anti-formula. We're in about empowering women about choice, making them feel good about their choice. And normal, again, as part of that culture we talked about earlier, about normalizing breastfeeding. But if everywhere you look you see cans of formula and bottles and nipples, it really does sabotage breastfeeding.
Yeah, it seems kind of, I understand what you're saying. Delilah, I wanted to ask you real quick before we run out of time, where can people go if they're looking for more information about breastfeeding and they want to kind of make themselves more aware, or just find someone to talk to about maybe some of their uncomfortableness about it?
Oh, well, here at Lee Health, they can reach out to our lactation department. We have consultants at all three hospitals, and we do have two wonderful facilities that teach classes for parents, and we also have support groups. So they can always contact us at either Health Park or at Cape Coral Hospital and speak to a consultant by phone or in person. We do prenatal classes, and we also do postpartum breastfeeding groups. So I even encourage some pregnant moms to come to the breastfeeding group and ask all the questions that they want and speak to some other moms as well.
Those groups are a great opportunity, too, for women who feel like they're cooped up in their house with just
Absolutely.
Them and their baby. And then they can just kind of, have some commonality and just share
Absolutely.
The stories with the other ladies,
Absolutely. There, and, the anxiety component, there's just nothing better than being supported by someone that's going through the same thing that you are. And we've changed the name of our breastfeeding support groups to clubs, because people don't have to come if they have a problem. They can just come and share in this experience And learn from one another. And it's just so wonderful to watch the power of women supporting other women. And they are, we do have our lactation consultants present in case there's any, you know, specific issues that, that we need to clarify. But really encourage you, you can go to leehealth.org. We have a birth ed webpage, has information about all of our lactation services and breastfeeding support. The WIC office in our community provides wonderful support to families as well. So there are a lot of resources out in the community. Reach out to us and we can get people plugged in with something that'll work for them.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for this part of the show, but I want to thank my guest, Delilah Edwards. She's a board-certified lactation consultant and maternal educator with Lee Health. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having us.
And I also want to thank Dr. Carol Lawrence. She's a supervisor of perinatal practice, education, research, and lactation at Lee Health. Thanks so much, Dr. Lawrence.
Great. Thank you.
We're going to take another short break, but when we come back, we're going to meet a local man whose independent film called Peacekeeper was recently screened at the Cannes Film Festival. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Stay with us.